Hi everyone, and welcome back to Walk with Bex. It has been another 2 weeks since my last upload, and lots has happened in that time. Firstly, I'd like to say a huge thank you to everyone who reached out to me after my last podcast episode with regards to the negative comments and feedback I had received following my pro win. I truly, truly appreciate everyone who takes the time to not only listen to these episodes, but also reaches out and drops me a DM on Instagram or shares these uploads to their stories and tags me. For me, these podcast recordings have always been a way for me to connect with you all on a deeper level, but also a way for me to reflect and share how I'm feeling and encourage you to walk with me on this journey of life. Hence the title, Walk with Bex. So, in the last 2 weeks, a lot has changed. I'm now 6 weeks post-show, post-win, and the goal in the last 2 weeks was to continue with my new training program, maximize food uptake, and regain full health whilst introducing a little bit more flexibility and an off-plan meal once a week. And for me, this was, I would say, the biggest battle and something I found really hard to embrace for several reasons. My relationship with food is something I've worked really hard to develop over the years, and being a bodybuilder and going through various phases of dieting and building, it can be challenging to find that balance and follow through on your goals in the sport whilst maintaining a healthy relationship with food. I'm not perfect, and over the years I have struggled with my relationship with food and had episodes of, for want of a better phrase, binge eating and secret eating, and have struggled many times post-show with the sheer hunger and not always managed it the best, I would say. However, this year for me, I've been the strictest to the point where it's probably been more detrimental and caused me a lot of emotional stress. You know, I've been super anal about exactly how much veg I have per meal, the sources I track and all of that kind of thing. And even things like having certain coffees, sweeteners, brands of foods. But over the last 2 weeks, I've discussed this with my husband and my coach and started to relax a little bit and implement meals off plan with the aim of building more flexibility and trusting myself to not go all in and have a binge. However, in the last week or so, I've also had my results back from my food intolerance tests. These are tests that I took privately with my skin doctor to see if the acne and kind of congestion I'm suffering with on my face is related or linked to the food consumption. And guess what? A lot came back as highly elevated, like a lot. So dairy, eggs, casein, gluten, rice, potatoes, peas, soy, wheat, peanut butter, almond butter, hazelnuts, yeast, basically a lot of the things I'm currently eating on my meal plan, or was, and things that I've been eating for a very long time, like I'm talking years. Now, I know these tests are not conclusive, and there is a lot of skepticism around these tests and how accurate they really are, because of course these things would be elevated in my blood because I eat them literally daily, and I eat a lot of eggs, rice, and not so much dairy. But anyway, once I got these results through, I had to make some difficult decisions about what I wanted to do moving forward. I've had this condition on my skin for years, like long before I even started bodybuilding and long before any additional supplements, training and preps and things like that. But I know that certain foods are typically related to skin conditions and intolerances related to acne and skin congestion. So together with my doctor and my coach, we decided we'd switch up my diet a little bit moving forward. I'm now no longer eating eggs for breakfast, sad times. I don't have like traditional whey protein. I'm using beef isolate instead. And I've removed bread, wraps from my diet, Greek yogurt is gone, peanut butter is switched to cashew butter, which apparently I'm fine with. And these are the first kind of series of changes I'm making. And to my knowledge, I don't believe rice or potato causes skin irritation or acne flare-ups. I could be wrong, we will see. So for now, rice and cream of rice is still in my diet, thank the Lord. But the reason I'm sharing this with you all now in relation to this podcast episode is because once we'd made that decision and the new diet was all set up and ready to go for the start of this week, Monday, I had a proper meltdown, so to speak. Well, a meltdown in what I would consider a meltdown. I suddenly realized that I'd been working towards being more flexible and trusting myself with other foods, and now things were taking a turn and I'd have to go back to being stricter than ever and ensure that I check the labels of all foods I obtain from eating off-plan meals were going to be gone for a few weeks again. Like, oh, for goodness sake, like I've literally just started building flexibility and I'm going to have to go back to being super strict again. So last Sunday night, when driving home from my kind of last meal off plan with my husband, my coach and his wife, I hit a massive low. And for the first time in a very long time, I ate off plan and I ate all the foods I hadn't been eating and resisting, I would say probably for a long time. Like I literally drove into the garage on the way home with my husband in the car and I picked up a tub of ice cream. I picked up two packets of cookies, two bars of chocolate. And I just literally said to my husband, I was like, I just want to eat it all now because it's going to be removed for good soon. So as stupid as that sounds, I just wanted to have a little pity party for myself. And I was fully open about it with my husband and then my coach the next day. Like, I wouldn't have considered that a typical kind of binge episode per se, but I fully went all in and I just ate all of these foods guilt-free whilst sat watching TV with my husband. And I really thoroughly enjoyed them. I'm not going to lie. It was a kind of fuck it moment for sure. And whilst I know these moments sometimes are okay and they're needed, like we're all human, I've not had my emotions take control of me in this way for a very, very long time. So I'm sharing this with you all now to show that firstly, I'm human too. We all go through these moments and at some point we turn to food for comfort. And for me, it was a case of just wanting to enjoy all of these foods before they were taken away. I guess you could say it was like my last supper and typical of something someone might do when they know they're starting a new diet the next day. You know, it's that last bit of enjoyment before restriction begins. Now, I know this is completely ridiculous and moving forward, there are dairy-free ice creams I could try and gluten-free cookies and vegan cookies, I'm sure. But at this moment in time, I know the only way to see if things are affecting my skin is to go cold turkey on them and just be 100% consistent with my new meal plan for a good series of weeks, which I know I can do. If I can prep, I can do this. I truly want to get to the bottom of why my skin is behaving this way. And so I don't know if it's food, but I honestly just want to see this as a kind of prep for my skin, if you will. You know, I feel like, yes, I'm on prep again. So in this episode, I thought it might be useful to discuss the idea of a good and bad relationship with food. And I use those terms, good and bad, quite loosely, and find ways of understanding ourselves a little bit better. So let's dive into it. A good relationship with food involves having, I would say, unconditional permission to eat the foods that make you feel good physically and mentally. Like, no foods are off limits and you feel no guilt upon eating foods that are typically labeled, let's say, good or bad. Like that would be a good relationship with food. You know, having a good relationship with food isn't something you can achieve overnight. I think it's something that you likely have to work on your entire life, just like you'd work on a relationship with your partner, your friend, or any other meaningful person in your life. Before you can work towards a good relationship with food, I also think it's important to pinpoint the signs and symptoms of what would typically be seen as a bad relationship with food. You know, a good relationship with food has absolutely nothing to do with the quality of your diet or the types of foods you're eating, but rather how and why you choose the foods you eat. That's how I would kind of see it. And when you improve your relationship with food, you'll notice a lot less stress and worry about eating and you'll have more food freedom, essentially. And I think if you really want to see what your relationship is like, I think it's important to understand what the typical kind of signs are of a bad relationship with food. Again, I'm using these terms good and bad quite loosely. So if you've got a bad relationship with food, you would feel guilty about eating. You avoid or restrict foods that you think are typically bad for you. You have developed a long list of rules surrounding the foods you can and cannot eat. That's a big one. You rely on calorie counting or apps to tell you when you're done eating for the day. So you stop because you're like, I've hit my macros, I can't eat anymore. Like, and that's very typical of us in the bodybuilding and fitness world. You ignore your body's natural hunger cues. You have a history of yo-yo dieting or following kind of the latest diet fads. And you feel immense stress and anxiety when eating in social situations, you know, due to the fear of what others might think of your food choices. And then obviously the most obvious one is that you find yourself either restricting and or binging on food. So I don't think you have to experience all of these signs to have a bad relationship with food, but I think the telltale sign is that your relationship with food could be improved if you feel that any type of shame, guilt, stress, or fear regarding foods is apparent within you. And I think it's also important to realize that your relationship with food may be transient. Like, sometimes you might eat with complete freedom and have no remorse for the foods that you eat. And this is great. But other times you might feel guilty after eating certain foods. And this is not so good, but it's also normal as well. And I think it's important to mention that, like, lots of people, in fact, I would say probably everybody, goes through these kind of transient phases. And so in my case, last Sunday, I had no guilt or shame. I fully wanted to eat those foods. I was committed to it. I had no guilt, no shame. I told my husband, I'm driving into the garage. I want to eat this, this, and this. And I sat right in front of him and I ate them. I enjoyed them. I stopped when I was full. However, all of the things that I've just listed don't go hand in hand with this idea of a bodybuilding journey. If you've got a real kind of physique goal, or you're a lifestyle client and you are looking to drop body fat and you're working towards a specific goal, weight or shape, you will need to follow a specific plan to a degree, and you may need to restrict certain foods and develop some kind of discipline when it comes to remaining consistent in your approach. So that's where the kind of the shift is and where it's not very balanced, you know. But this is like when working with clients, I always map out a long-term goal. You know, when I discuss their initial goals, we sit down and we go, okay, but long-term, we want to build a healthy relationship with food whereby you won't need to track and weigh out your food, as you would have built great habits for eating regularly, understanding portion control better, which will also support things like your natural kind of hunger cues, and of course allow for meals or days of full freedom and guilt-free eating, knowing that it won't lead to a binge. Like, this is a conversation that I have with a lot of new clients that join my team. But in most cases, clients come to me because they have a poor relationship with food to start with, which has resulted in them getting to a place where they need support or help from me as a coach. And, you know, perhaps they've gone through a phase where they've not looked after their body, not respected their body, and they perhaps have abused food for a number of reasons. And I think this happens to us all at some point in our lives, if not more than once, you know, myself included. So the goal of a good relationship with food is to have more positive experiences with food rather than negative ones, for sure. But I think it's important to show patience and kindness towards yourself in this process. You know, essentially, if you have a bad relationship with food, it will often involve restricting or overeating on foods, either regularly or obsessively dieting. And obviously the big one is feeling shame or guilt upon eating certain foods. So a good relationship with food is like any other relationship. As I said, it takes time, practice, and a lot of patience. But it's important to understand that your relationship with food goes deeper than just fueling your body. Unlike animals that eat solely for survival, they don't sit down at dinner and then chat to each other as they're eating. Humans eat for a variety of reasons. Like, we eat for joy, pleasure, culture, tradition, socialization, and to fuel our bodies as well. And when you start to appreciate food as more than just a fuel source, you can begin to see the value in it and develop a healthy relationship. Now, I know how hard this is being a bodybuilder, as we are trained like robots to see food as fuel more so than anything else, with everything being weighed, tracked, and monitored ongoing. But signs of a good relationship with food would include you giving yourself unconditional permission to eat the foods you enjoy, hard one if you're a bodybuilder, of course. You listen and respect your body's natural hunger cues. Again, very difficult when you're on prep. You're going to get hungry. You're just going to have to ignore those cues and just push on. You eat when you're hungry and you stop when you're full. Post-show, big issue. We've all been there. No foods are off limits. Yeah, you're going to have restriction when you are a bodybuilder or you're on prep, for sure. You don't obsess over the numbers on the scale. You don't let the opinions of others dictate which foods you eat. You don't feel the need to justify your food choices. You understand that you are not defined by the foods that you eat, and you enjoy all food in moderation. And you choose foods that make you feel your best. That's an important one. Not just taste the best, feel your best. And that calories are not the only focus for your food choices. So there's a whole list of things there that could support a good relationship with food. But if you're looking at this list or listening to me say it out loud and you're thinking, I'll never get to this point, you're not alone. Many people struggle with the idea of ditching the diet mentality, pushing away the years of diet culture, messages that they've been getting from a very, very young age. Not to mention those of us in this sport of bodybuilding who have been weighing and prepping meals for many years. You know, every calorie and macro is counted and calculated. However, this is why many coaches take the approach, my coach included, and I do this with a lot of my girls too, is to have a break from dieting or tracking and ensure that a healthy relationship with food remains, where you can almost tick off some of those things on that list, as I just mentioned. You know, a good relationship with food involves welcoming all foods in moderation at specific times, eating foods that you enjoy, not allowing food to control your life. That is a big one, because it can work in both ways, controlling your life in terms of overconsumption, but also controlling your life in terms of restriction and that kind of prep mentality, which I've obviously just shared that I've been suffering with. And knowing that the foods you eat do not define your value as a person. Big one. So, with all of that in mind, how do you start having a good relationship with food? It's one thing, of course, to hope for change, and it's quite another to actively try to make that change happen for yourself. First, I think it's important that you remember you're your own person. You have your own history with food and your own food preferences, and every right to navigate this journey in a way that suits you best. So all I'm going to do here is just to suggest a few things that you might find useful, but ultimately you have to find your own way. Number one, give yourself unconditional permission to eat. So one sign of a good and healthy relationship with food is allowing yourself unconditional permission to eat. And when you create rules around when you can and can't eat, you're actually setting yourself up for hunger, feelings of deprivation, fear of food, cravings. Whether you overeat at lunch or have a few extra cookies for dessert, you still deserve to eat when you are hungry or you want to. Like, it's your life. You can choose what to do. Your body deserves food, no matter the day or time or situation, of course. But again, I think this is something, in my opinion, that should be implemented when a good routine for eating is established, and that fear of overeating to the point of a binge are no longer prevalent. So giving yourself those moments of unconditional permission to eat, I think, takes a lot of practice and a lot of time if your current relationship with food is quite poor or you have struggled with kind of binge eating and stuff like that in the past before. Number two, eat when you're hungry. Every person is born with the natural ability to regulate their hunger. We all are. You can see this with children at young age who can easily tell when they're hungry or when they're full. Babies tell us, kids tell us. Also, as people age, they begin to lose this ability for a number of reasons worth mentioning. And I think, despite your parents' best efforts, how often did they tell you to clean your plate? Please tell me, like, I wasn't the only one. Finish what's on your plate. There's some people in this world that are starving. You better eat it all up. You know, and whilst their intentions were good, I think what's happening there is that what they're doing is you're ignoring the signs of a child telling you that they're actually full. Like, I was forced, not force fed, but I would say if I had anything left on my plate, it was like, you better bloody eat it up. And I'm like, okay, I'll eat it, even though I was full. So I remember this vividly as a child at the dinner table, and I was always, it was like drummed into me, you must finish what's on your plate. So as an adult now, I find it very hard to leave something on the plate or stop when I'm full. I've had to retrain myself to do that. Along with this, dieting culture has taught people to rely on that kind of number of calories to tell them when they're done for eating in the day, instead of just eating until they are satisfied. And I think still, the closer you can get back to listening to your kind of natural hunger cues, the better you can regulate your appetite and manage your food intake. But not all of us are good at doing that. We might fancy or crave something because we want to taste a certain thing. Often we're not actually hungry. You know, we've all been there where we finished a meal and gone, oh, I feel quite full. And you're like, oh, actually, I quite like something sweet. You don't need something sweet. You're wanting it because you want the flavor. You're not needing it because you're hungry, if that makes sense. So I don't know if me personally, I'll ever be that person that doesn't weigh out or plan her food or measure and track. But I know that I could possibly ditch the scales and do this, having a very good experience of, and I would say knowledge of, kind of portion control. And I've done this a couple of times when I've been on holiday in Greece, where I've kind of eaten a bit more intuitively because I can kind of weigh out in with my eyes like how much I need to eat. But then in the same kind of breath, I do always in the back of my mind think, oh, have I got my protein in? Do I need to eat a little bit more food? Have I got enough in? So yeah, that eating when you're hungry and stopping when you're full, that's a big one. Number three, practice mindful eating. Mindful eating has become a kind of a cornerstone, I would say, of fixing a bad relationship with food. And I think the reason this one's such a big one is it involves eating in the moment and being fully present for the whole eating experience, which so many of us rarely do. You know, when you eat mindfully, you're eating free from distractions, such as your phone, the TV, a book. Rather than that, what you're doing is you're taking time to make gentle observations of what you're eating, such as the taste, the texture of the food, how your hunger and fullness cues are changing, and you're enjoying the food essentially. And I think that involves learning how to slow down and savor the food that you're eating. You know, it can help you to learn which foods you genuinely enjoy and become more in tune with your body's natural hunger and fullness regulation. What's more, it can help you identify the reasons for your food choices too. Like, are you eating because you're starving and you'll literally just eat anything in sight? Or do you want to eat the food because you think it will make you feel better emotionally or physically? And so I practice this mindful eating approach with clients all the time when implementing a meal off plan for social occasions that come up and during their program with me. And often I'll encourage them to do this with their food on their meal plans too. I say, take pride in how you prepare your meals. Savor the flavor. Enjoy eating your meals without the distraction of anything else. You know, come away from your desk if you're working. Sit at the dinner table in the evening, not on the sofa watching TV. Like, you guys have seen me do this on my YouTube channel, both in prep and when I've done other kind of eating videos. You know, I sit down, I taste it, I describe it. I thoroughly enjoy my food. I love food. And so knowing that the process of cooking it and tasting it all is bringing me more into the present moment, I think makes me feel better about what I'm eating, the choices that I'm making. Don't get me wrong, on most occasions in my busy work-life schedule, I am rushed for time and I barely have time to just wolf a meal down before I'm doing my next work task. But I do make a conscious effort to mindfully eat at breakfast and at dinner. So like meal one, I sit down with my husband and we have that together, which is our pre-workout meal. And then meal five, which is round about dinner time, we make a conscious effort to sit at the dinner table together and talk about our day, and we eat our meal like you would traditionally do. So I think while you eat, try to answer some of these questions, like what flavor and texture am I noticing right now? Do I enjoy it? Am I only eating it because it's available or because I actually really want to eat this? Does this food hit the spot? Does it satisfy a craving I'm having? Has the food solved a problem like I may have thought it would? We do that all the time. I feel sad, I want to eat, it's gonna make me feel better. Has it actually made you feel better? How is the food changing my appetite? Do I notice my hunger going away? Is it getting worse? How do I emotionally feel while I'm eating this? Does it bring me joy, guilt, anger, shame? Again, the situation and where you choose to eat, is a big kind of factor. Are you eating it in front of other people? Are you eating it secretly? Was I actually hungry? If not, why did I decide to eat it? Was it emotional eating? Was it cravings? Or was it just simply boredom? So some of these questions might be difficult and hard to address, but sometimes it might be beneficial to write down your thoughts in a journal. That could be extremely helpful. You know, the key to answering these questions without judgment and instead with a curious mind over time, I think, is about the observations that you identify and the reasons for your food choices and whether they are healthy coping mechanisms or not. So that's a big one. Number four, welcome all foods in your diet. Labeling food as good or bad gives it an unnecessary kind of power, especially the bad ones. Instead, certain foods are more nutrition, certain foods are definitely more nutritious and contribute to improving your overall health. For sure, we know which foods are better for that. But eating a single food isn't going to miraculously affect your health in any way. When you label a food as bad, what you're automatically doing is putting it on a pedestal. Usually people call foods bad when they taste good and aren't very nutritious. So high in sugar, fat, salt. Yet as soon as you tell yourself you can't have something, the more you crave it and want it, right? So when you allow all foods in your diet, you're better able to control your intake. As you know, these foods are always available. Food's not going anywhere. I say this all the time to clients. It's not going anywhere. It's always going to be there. And we can pop it in your diet and we can track it and put it in if we need to. However, when you restrict foods and believe that they are a rarity, you're much more likely to overdo it when they do come back into your diet. So this is why I personally include all foods on my clients' meal plans and why myself, I enjoy a varied diet. You know, even whilst having the same foods each day, like the same meals, I genuinely look forward to each of my meals, and I did during prep and I did on my reverse as well. And I don't feel like I'm restricting myself because I've got a variety. Now that my diet has changed slightly, obviously I'm having to accommodate that, and I'm not labeling eggs and dairy as bad, but just simply at this moment in time, they're problematic. And I'm hoping that they'll be reintroduced in future. And I must say, contrary to popular belief, it's quite rare that you'll always want cookies or cake or pizza. Just think about that for a second. You don't crave it every second of every day. And when you allow all foods into your diet in moderation, you'll notice that your cravings for certain foods just start to diminish. And I often get messages from clients expressing how much they love their varied meal plan and they actually literally don't have cravings whatsoever. And if I encourage them to have a meal off plan, they're like, I actually quite like my dinner. I'd rather just have more of the same. So in essence, starting to view all foods as equal with no food being better or worse than any other, I think is going to be very beneficial moving forward. You know, when you stop viewing food as good or bad, you remove the food's power. And over time, you won't feel the need to overeat when it's around. And then finally, number five, mind your plate. Imagine a life in which you don't have to justify your food choices to yourself or anyone else. What a world that would be. Like, most people are constantly giving themselves or other people an explanation for their food choices. For example, oh, I'm eating ice cream because I had a really bad day. Or I have to have a salad for dinner because I didn't have time to exercise or do my workout, so I'm just going to cut my carbs. Instead of giving a reason for your food choices, just allow yourself to eat food that you feel is best for you at that very moment in time without justification. I'll admit, I didn't practice this well the other day when I ate chocolate, ice cream and cookies. I was 100% saying to myself, I'm eating this now because as soon as it's gone, it's going to be taken away and I'm never going to be able to eat it again. But I guess you guys have already got the gist of this. But ultimately, this mentality won't serve you long term in building a healthy relationship with food. Trust me, I know this. And I know ice cream and cookies and chocolate, I'm sure will come back in. But it's just the thought of not having dairy milk again. I was like, really? It's my favorite chocolate. But anyway, developing a good relationship with food takes time, patience, and kindness towards yourself. You know, allow yourself to navigate this journey without judgment and just take it day by day. You know, if you feel you can relate to anything I've said, or you're struggling to build a good relationship with food or manage the relationship you currently have, then I would either seek support from a close loved one, a coach, or professional help even. You know, your own relationship with food is very complex and can't always be solved on your own. And to a degree, I don't think it's ever going to be solved. You're constantly going to be working on it, as am I. I think getting professional support and guidance can help you transform your relationship with food and overall health, for sure, because our relationship with food, I think, has deep-rooted history. Like, if you go back, you can kind of see where it always stems from, and you can't always resolve your food issues on your own. So sometimes seeking professional help, I think, from a dietitian, a coach, or a therapist might help you navigate this a little bit better and find some solutions and a way forward. And finally, your relationship with food, as I said, is personal and it's unique and requires regular work to keep it healthy. Though it might seem impossible to fix the bad parts of your relationship with your food, it's possible to get to a state where food no longer controls you. I think that would be the goal for everybody, and instead just fuels your body and your overall well-being. And as you navigate your relationship with food, just remember that food isn't inherently good or bad. You know, it's the labels that you put on it that give it the power. A healthy, good relationship with food means welcoming all foods with no restrictions, whenever that's appropriate for you. Seeing the value in food beyond calories. I know that's hard if you're on a specific health journey at the moment. And remembering that your value as a human is not dictated by the food that you're currently eating. I think taking the first step to fixing a bad relationship with food is scary and it can be very difficult, but well worth it in the long run. And I think psychologically, your body needs food for fuel. Sorry, physiologically, your body needs food for fuel, but psychologically, you need food for nourishment and your overall well-being in terms of sustaining kind of a healthy balance in life. And it's the cultural kind of pin that helps us kind of bond and build connections. Don't discount that. Like, food will always be a part of how we share experiences and create memories with people. And that shouldn't be a bad thing. You know, I'm learning this myself too. And then there's obviously the emotional component with food, from bringing comfort, stirring nostalgia, and channeling love and serving as a kind of coping mechanism and an outlet for celebration. You know, food plays a myriad of roles in our lives. Like, how often do you think of like a home-cooked meal and it literally transports you back to a memory of when you were a child? You know, let's not take that away from food. Let's not all become robots and eat like bodybuilders forever until we die. Like, I am still working on my relationship with food, and I think that these are reasons for us to kind of really assess the relationship we currently have with food. And like any relationship, it's going to require constant tending and frequent check-ins. And it's not always appealing to do the work, because it can seem like it will be more tedious and take longer versus just doing a strict diet to shed the pounds quickly. But without establishing a healthy relationship with food, the results are often going to be short-lived. And like I said before, this is why my long-term goal and the goal for all my clients I work with is to get to that place where you've built a good relationship with food once the dieting is done, like once you've gone through that fat loss phase or that specific physique goal that you've got, that reverse and building your body and your mind and your well-being back up is so, so important. I really hope that you found this episode useful. I appreciate any kind of personal reflections that you want to share with me. Please do reach out and let me know, either by messaging me on Instagram or posting this episode to your story and tagging me. I do appreciate it. And like as always, I will be back in touch again in a couple of weeks. And I appreciate you listening. I will catch you on the flip side. And if you're not following me on Instagram or YouTube, head over there now and I'll catch you in the next one. Bye for now, guys.